This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Football Friday. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, Byron Matthews in for Figgy Fig, who is doing a little bit of charity work on this Friday.
Well, I guess Byron doesn't.
What's that?
Do charity work.
I mean, I'm sure he does as well. Or maybe he doesn't. I don't know. I don't know his life. But just highlighting why you're not hearing the sounds of Figgy and why
Byron, you do any charity work? You're just like, nah.
I've done it once, but it was for my cousin. She's a teacher, so
there you go.
One year she asked her students for extra credit to bring blankets, and then we drove to downtown and handed the blankets
out. There you go. Look at that.
You're a giver, too.
A giver.
Yeah.
So all the producers.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go ahead and expand that out. But, yeah, keep it locked right here on Sports Radio 610. You got the drive here coming up in about an hour. They are going to be broadcasting live from Edo from East River 9. So go out, see the fellas, get you a little golf, get you something to eat. Sign up to win prizes. Those things always available on a Football Friday. One of the things that I wanted to bring up here is just the general exasperation of, are we really doing this with D'Amico?
Doing what?
And I want to be careful about the way that I frame this, because I think that it's easy to get to this place where you're dealing with a straw man. And I don't know that I've seen a lot of this sentiment out there. I've seen some. Like, I'm not trying to say it's been none, but I've seen some of the sentiment. But it feels like most of what I've seen is people responding to the sentiment, which sometimes makes it bigger than it actually was. But it does feel like in the Texan space, there are people that are like, yo, I don't know if I trust D'Amico Ryans.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to the full extent of D'Amico Ryan's job kind of calling for
sure,
at times.
Sure.
And again, want to be careful. Maybe this is straw man that we are talking about. However, are we really doing this with the D'Amico Ryans? That is what? What is his record or thus far? Is it 16-11?
Let's see. Working on that Aggie math. Something like that. but that's my answer. That's how I answered a lot of questions.
16-11, 1-1 in the postseason.
Yeah. Look, to answer your question, we are not doing that with D'Amico Ryans. Yes, there are some outliers. Yes, there are some who, you know, put it at his feet, you know, whatever problems that are perceived or not perceived with this team. But I think It's a path that might get a little more traffic if things, especially this week, don't start working out, because it does ultimately fall on its feet. But you and me and I think the majority of Texans fans, we're not doing that, right?
I can't imagine, yeah. Right? Like D'Amico Ryans, when it comes to being a coach, I think also his message clearly still lands.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why did I start there? Winning record as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, still winning record, winning the division. I understand that the division is not a high bar. However, still clearing that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Winning record. I think the expectations are what give us frustration, not the team itself. Right? Mm-hmm. I think even just look at the division. It's not the expectations that's given the Colts frustrations right now. It's not the expectations that's given the Jags, the Blues right now. It's not the expectations that are hitting the Titans. It is just the fact that they are not good.
Yeah.
That is not what you could say under D'Amico Ryan's coach team right now. Like, whatever blues that we are bringing, whatever anxieties we have, it's because they can be even better. Like, there can be more squeezed out of it. But the message still lands with his players. Like, maybe you have questions about, all right, how is he going to manage his staff as he continues to move along? But in year two, and in the middle of year two, it feels early to get to any of that with all of the successes that you've already seen and the quick turnaround that you saw with this team. Like, one of the reasons why the expectations are so high is because you made such a quick turnaround.
Because he did so, yeah.
Such a quick turnaround that it was like, okay, I guess we contend now.
Yeah.
Like, I guess we push for it
yeah.
in how quickly this happened. And so, yeah, it was amazing to see. And I mean, and again, I want to be clear. It was kind of, I saw people talking about mm-hmm. the fact that this was happening. And I think Seth actually put out a poll where, you know, in his the unscientific way of doing a poll on social media, mm-hmm. ended up with like somewhere in 3% of people that actually were in that space of people that responded to his poll. So it's a real small minority, but just the idea that any of that, like, have we been too negative in the way that we've handled this? Or what would get somebody to a place to believe that they would even have, or believe that they need to have that perspective?
Well, that second part of what you just asked is, I think, the most important part. Now, foremost, if things go sideways on Monday night, well, then, you know, that 3% is going to double or triple or more just because, you know, what are we doing? You know, the Cowboys stink and the Texans, you know, should be able to run them off the field like a lot of teams have. So that's number one. But the other thing that I think is kind of important and maybe is going to end up being a reflection on D'Amico, if it's not already. He is showing signs of a lot of frustration. Like he's talked about it. He's done some, you know, you can see that he doesn't like doing the media, you know, availability all. I think that's pretty much clear. He's a hell of a guy and we all know that, and he's really nice, and he's one of the most likable people you'll know.
But in addition to that, he's respected by his players though.
And he's respected by his players, but that thing right there, when we'll hear some of it. Like, he is showing some frustrations. And I think he's not doing himself a lot of favors, you know?
Yeah, I think that, and 8-3-2, right? It's ridiculous. If we won the Lions game, the talk would be so different. And I guess maybe this is where you start seeing some of it on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 713, D'Amico just seems so soft. It seems to be so soft. And that just, I don't necessarily agree with that.
He is not soft.
Like, even just D'Amico as player. But mm-hmm. I think also this might point back to what you're talking about is the word that I keep using, or the phrase, is bedside manner. I don't even know if that's actually right. But just the way that he you know, kind of handles these things is not as deft of a touch, at least for those of us on the outside.
Like, absolutely.
And I don't think that he views it as his reason to, you know, as like one of the main responsibilities that he has is to make us feel better about what he's doing. But that can maybe manifest itself in those ways. And there's maybe some frustration that you can hear in this cut. This is cut 10 from D'Amico Ryans yesterday on the idea of how you block out the outside noise regarding decision making and such.
When it comes to the outside noise on decision making and play calling, all those things, that's the NFL, right? We'll always get that. I don't listen to it. I don't have time to spend on everybody's opinion on how we're running our team and what we're calling and what we're doing, right? As a NFL coach, you make decisions and you stick by the decisions that you make. And everybody, of course, being an NFL head coach, probably one of the only jobs where everybody critiques you on Monday, right? That's the only job. And besides the NFL head coach and the president, you probably get critiqued on every decision that you make because everybody else has all the answers right after the fact. But nobody has the answers in the heat of the battle, in the heat of the moment. We can all hit rewind as many times. We can slow it down as much as we want to, but that's why I'm here to make the decisions, and that's how it'll be.
See, that last part is where, like I said, he's not doing himself a lot of favors because basically
he's not wrong, though.
No, we all get. No, he is wrong in this regard. That's to me, he's saying, he's telling us that he's never really worked in the real world without telling us. And I hate that when people do that, but I'm doing it without telling us he's ever really worked in the real world. We all get criticized. We are all Monday morning quarterbacked. I mean, every one of us, you, me, you know, Byron, anyone listening to us, we all get that. The problem is we're not in that limelight like that. And we also, by the way, which maybe this is part of the reason that the public and the can and does criticize and second guess as much as they do. We also don't have 6-year, $46 million contracts. So, you know, you sign up for that. And I think he's just showing a little bit of frustration, maybe a lot of bit of frustration. And he's not really, it doesn't resonate with me. We were all second guessed. You're second guessed. I'm second guessed. People who are listening to us are second guessed. It's just not public, which I get that nobody wants it to be public.
But I think that that's the key distinction is that it is public and that everybody feels like they have some level of expertise on this, right? Like, I think that absolutely is the point of this and why, what makes it different. And ultimately, what he's saying there is, well, I don't have the benefit of being able to look over this same thing a ton of times as you do on the back end of it. Now, when it comes to like making the adjustments over time, sure, you do have that benefit. Yeah. But like, yeah, that is the job. And I think he acknowledges the job, but that general frustration, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's, but just
no,
that,
he's
that,
frustrated. That general, you can tell
that general tone that he tends to bring to it, I think, can possibly rub a few people the wrong way. But when it comes to the job that he's done thus far at this point, I don't know how you get to a point where you're like, hey, fire him. Because also the next question is, who do you bring in that's better? And I think you've seen a line of hirings with this Texans team. And not to say that they would be wrong again, but just like, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And I think there needs to be an appreciation for D'Amico Ryan's.
Well, there is. And he's great for this team. Don't get me wrong. And I think he's the answer for this team long term. While that is true, I think it's also true that these frustrations that he's showing, Reggie, these frustrations are kind of like aimed at the, quote, outside noise, which I hate that term anyway, because there's inside noise. You know, I can guarantee you they're not saying, hey, everything's cool, guys. You know, I guarantee you they're jumping on players. They're jumping on, you know, they're making tough decisions. They're second guessing things that they did. So the whole outside noise thing is kind of a misnomer. But I think the more that this happens, then the more that people are going to be just frustrated also with his answers and with how this team is performing.
Yeah, and I think that's the real frustration that, with the team, in addition to like in part because of the expectation, but also is, and I think I bought in the idea of, okay, winning and incremental growth. And it feels like there's places where growth is necessary and you're not necessarily seeing that incremental growth, and that frustration manifests itself in different ways. But let's not go too far trying to call for the job of a head coach who has put you in a place to have those expectations. I think that's
where we've seen the other side. Yeah. We have seen the other side a lot. And D'Amico is appreciated, but you can be appreciated. It's and like have, you know you love have, your kids.
Fair critique.
You know you love your kids, but you second guess your kids. You know, a lot of times as well.
Maybe third guess
and third and fourth and fifth sometimes. So that's all I'm saying is like, When he said the outside noise and only the president and NFL coaches, I gotta admit, I kind of eye rolled. I'm like, hey, you ever been in some of our meetings? You know, whether it's a listener at a sales meeting or whatever, or all this. No, everybody's second guessed. You're in a position that is very public and is part of the job. And I think the whole outside noise thing is a misnomer. There is inside noise in that building. There is second guessing happening there. You know, it's not just in real time, you know, and it's easy to do after the fact. No, they're doing it after the fact.
But I think that's a noise that he feels accountable to in a way that maybe he does not feel as accountable to the outside. And maybe that's ultimately why this also still comes down, is that we can all be a little self-important and, you know, want that accountability to us as well. But as of right now, the job as it's been done is by and large a thumbs up one for D'Amico Ryan. So yeah, let's not do that. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, this is the
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time where we typically turn it over to Figgy for the mixtape. Figgy got the day off, so I will do my best. Don't come for me. Please don't. But in honor of the Astrodome still being up and folks wanting to keep it around, what are some things that you should get rid of but you just won't let go? Plus, imagine renting a car and getting charged $10,000. We'll detail those things next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, indeed, it is the mixtape right here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. I'm not Figgy Fig. I'm Reginald Atatula. You got John Lopez, Byron Matthews hanging out with us. Figgy Fig got the day off, but the mixtape lives on, and this is Figgy certified. This was Figgy put it together because that man works real hard. Told him he didn't have to, and he still did. So we've got a Figgy approved mixtape for you, even when Figgy is not in the building. But what is a building that is still here despite John Lopez and other folks' calls.
Hold on, let me check. Yep, still there.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. I was about to say dead in the eye, but yep. I don't think the Astrodome has eyes.
I can see the cats and rats from here.
All right. They're there, but you can't see them.
Yeah, they're getting pretty big.
All right. But yeah, in honor of the Astrodome still being up and people looking to restore it, what are some things that, you know, you just can't get rid of? You're just in case stuff that you feel inspired to maybe fix one day. Or
it's in a drawer.
Just the things the that attic. You hang on to. Let us know on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. But Figgy put together a list for you on some of those things. And number one, broken electronics. Or even just like old electronics. Mm-hmm. Phones, tablets, remotes, iPods that you know damn well you're not gonna charge up, and you're not gonna open up your iTunes to load up or anyway.
Just, yeah,
they don't work, or you just haven't used it in forever, and maybe reparable, but just one day,
never
in the future,
never ever ever. I'm one of those guys that I'll throw away stuff.
You're that guy?
No, there are certain things that I'm very emotionally attached to, and it's in a special place that I keep that stuff. But like this kind of crap, I mean, and I said crap deliberately, when are you ever going to use that iPhone again? When are you ever going to use that tablet or that remote?
Oh, again? So you were never the guy that, you got a new phone and the old one you just kind of hold on to for a little bit?
No, gone.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Fine, you're better than us.
Right, do you keep stuff? And I'm not passing judgment. Just so that's the way I am. I'm like, I'm never going to use this again.
I've become better about that. And yes, I've taken to what Fernando on the YouTube suggests. Sell your old tech to places that recycle the materials in there. Because obviously,
I've done that a couple times.
Right, we have gotten to a point where, those are precious metals and materials and such that, if possible, can be reused in various other things. So that's definitely a good way to go about it. But yeah, don't just leave it in a drawer thinking that, although I will say, in the past, I did find myself very happy that I kept like a phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. When the new one gets lost or broken or something, you could just track back to the old one real quick.
Sorry.
That is
not going to happen
from time to time, but that's just a highly unlikely thing.
Yeah.
I imagine maybe not for us, but significant others or whatever, a single earring or some broken jewelry. I do have a broken chain right now that I need to throw away, to be completely honest. But that one earring that lost a maid or whatever, or like socks, maybe you just lost the other sock to it or whatever.
So this doesn't apply to me, but occasionally, my wife will say, maybe I'll find this match, at a store or at an antique sale or something like that. I'm like, seriously, let's try to put pen to paper here. What are the odds you're going to find that? What are the odds you're going to find that exact, whatever?
But that's just protecting your sanity, because I can imagine the feelings that come over you when you get rid of the one and then you find
and
the
then
other.
You find the other.
Oh, man.
I had it.
All I had to do was wait.
I had it.
How about this? Clothes with small holes or missing buttons?
This is where I just, I just wear clothes until they are tatters. Because I've told everybody about my four levels of fishing shirts, from dress fishing shirt to kind of really dirty fishing shirt to car rag. So this is one where, if it can fit me, I'm going to probably wear it.
All right. Someone from the 979 said, I still have the first computer I bought in 1983. Just remember what I had. Why?
Yeah. Okay.
What are you doing? Okay. Some other things that come up, appliances that, on the fritz. So this is one I very much understand, and I've had to do a little bit better about recently. Random cords or chargers.
Now this is one there that makes more
we
sense,
got him.
Right?
And he thought he was just going to be better than all of us.
No,
all day.
I never said that.
There it is.
But see, those are some where like you can use. How many times you're always losing chargers, right? You're always losing cords and stuff like that. Now that's just more practical to me.
Just having the extra. Okay, so we found that. And shout out to Cam for hitting the one that I always have an issue with, right? Can't get rid of boxes. They said for some reason can't get rid of boxes. Like I have my own iPhone boxes going all the way back to the 5C. Yeah, just the box that you're like, maybe at some point I might
about,
use this.
Moving boxes. That moving boxes makes more sense. Put them in the attic for the next time or whatever someone needs them.
Just like,
but iPhone boxes?
iPhone box. Some people keep the TV box.
Why?
You might need to put it back in there. You might need to at some point put it back. I feel like this is just like a guy thing also, at the risk of generalizing, being stereotypical. Guys just love to keep the box, man. Mm-hmm. You never know when you have to put the thing back in there.
It's going to be
useful. There's going to be one time where you need that perfect size box, mm-hmm. and you will have it. Shout out to the 832 said, I still have hundreds of CDs, DVDs, and Blu-rays that I haven't used in forever. Keep those. That does not apply here.
Yeah, that's more of an emotional attachment.
I just think physical media is a good thing to keep, man. We done gone digital, and now all these services at their whim, they could take things away from us, and we have no recourse. Yeah. No, keep that.
I have albums,
media, brother.
Of course, I've given them to my sons, but I have albums that from the 70s, 80s.
Keep that physical media. So some other ones that Fig puts in here, eyeglasses with a scratch or a crack, Tupperware with cracked lids. I think I've gotten better about just getting rid of those, especially at the cost that you can replace them. Now, this one, I don't know. Furniture with like a loose leg or a wobbly part, something like that.
Fix it.
Yeah, I feel like furniture. Yeah, we've really moved away as a society from being a fix-it society to just
fix
toss
the furniture.
I feel like furniture is a big enough thing that we could just go ahead and fix that.
Eyeglasses with a scratch or crack would drive me crazy, my OCD. So I do get rid of those, but I do tend to keep Tupperware just because you can put foil on top of it or, you know, plastic wrap or
That's
something.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, it's Figgy's mixtape, minus the Figgy on this Friday, this football Friday. Apparently, Louis Vuitton is selling a $60,000 doghouse. How much do you love your dog? Because apparently you can quantify it.
Not $60,000 worth, I don't think. I mean, I guess if I had it, I would.
$60,000?
Thousands.
What does it have?
Well, it's by Louis Vuitton. So first of all, that's
it
all
has
you
the name.
Know. But yeah, Louis Vuitton is selling $60,000 doghouse. It's part of their new pet line. Which who was clamoring for that?
Also, rich people.
It includes a $2,000 dog bowl, $2,200 to be specific, and a $470 poop bag holder.
Hold on.
Uh huh.
A damn near $500. Poop bag holder,
but it's got the LV on it. It look real nice, man. When you walk in, you look stylish as hell.
Does
brother.
It come with a person to hold it and pick up the poop?
That may make sense.
Yeah,
I can see that. You wouldn't do that for your dog. All right, what's the most you would spend on a dog item? Like not a specific necessity for your dog.
Gibson
but just kind of one of those items.
Gibson was the best dog ever. So
take that, all the other dogs.
If I were a millionaire or billionaire, I might have done this. To be honest, I might have done this.
Gibson would have been stunned looking at all the other dogs. Look at all these broke dogs out here.
Got to go to my Louie house.
I ain't got no Louie.
I got to go to my Louie.
That's
house.
Crazy. Me personally, I can't relate to not having a Louie dog.
Yeah.
The designer. So the whole thing is covered in tan and brown Louis Vuitton pattern, of course, because
of course.
That's the reason why you buy Louis Vuitton. It's a stunt. If you don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the point. So it's technically a kennel, right? Indoor,
but does it have like
an outdoor?
Is it big? Is it just Louis? Is it double decker? Or is it just a doghouse that has Louis Vuitton label?
I mean, it looks like the prototype or the stereotypical doghouse. Like think Snoopy when he goes full Red Baron. There you go. But just covered in the tan and brown Louis Vuitton. With the clasps and the metal hardware.
Why does that
hardware.
Just smack of a Kardashian?
Because that's what you're doing, man.
The smacks of a Kardashian.
So, yes, Cam. People find new ways to waste money every day. From the 832, this is one of the rest of the world. This is where the rest of the world laughs at America's these days because of this kind of crap we spend our money on. Hey, man.
Hey, the rest of the world buys Louis.
Well, yeah, some of them. And some of them are just like, that's not necessary for the dog. But yes, it comes with gold-toned hardware, as I was telling you. And a removable door. Plus, there's a hidden hatch on the bottom for easy cleaning.
Oh, well, if there's a hidden hatch, then it's worth every penny.
That's right. So your housekeeper can clean it up out of the $60,000. But yeah, it's part of the pet line. They've got big money in it. If I told you you had to buy something from the line, would it be the dog bowl for $2,200? Would it be the $2,300 pet flask? Like, what would you want?
What's in the pet flask? Is it just like a regular flask for water?
Yeah, but for your pet. And Louis Vuitton on it.
Oh, it has a little paw print on it.
There you go.
I might be leaning flask. That's pretty cool.
Is there anything in your life that you deem worthy of luxury, like that kind of like luxury iconography?
Oh, all my fishing gear.
Oh, okay.
I mean, my fishing gear is like way too expensive. Rods, reels, lures. I mean, it's stupid. And I lie to my wife about how much it costs every day.
I just love the idea that there's some dog out there that wants nothing more than just to like chew a like Cowbone or whatever, sitting in a Louis, a Louis doghouse.
Why not?
Not giving a damn about any of it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I gotta see this poop bag holder now.
Okay, yeah, do that. While you do that, how about?
It has drawstrings. There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has a nice little clip on it.
Well manufactured, of course. You can't forget that.
And it'll be covered in dog poop.
From the 70s. I feel like you don't understand how the dog bag holder works. You're not supposed to use the dog bag holder for the dog poop.
It still gets all over.
Ew.
Yeah.
And this is fair from the 346. They spent $30 on a dog bed that he never slept on. So, you know, that's also a fun thing. What if the dog just...
That would happen.
The dog just hates the doghouse that he spent $60,000 on?
Turns their nose up at the dog.
It's not even really a doghouse because you leave that leather outside and it looks awful.
That would happen. Absolutely, that would happen.
That's just got to be an indoor kennel. Mm-hmm. And fair enough. 713 said, keeping the TV box is definitely a guy thing. They said they secretly trash their hubby's leftover Apple product boxes.
Good for you.
Shout out to you, but also I feel bad for him because I know there's one day that's going to come where he's going to be like, I need it. And it's not going to be there.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, I promise. All right, we continue in the mixtape where the tale of the $10,000 rental car. So Hertz charged a guy $10,000. And like, why would this possibly happen?
Mm-hmm.
He drove 25,000 miles in 1 month. With unlimited mileage. So there's a guy going viral on TikTok.
Holy moly.
After Hertz tried to charge him $10,000. So he somehow, I don't know how, drove 25,000 miles in single month.
How do you do that?
On a rental, right? So apparently there was like unlimited miles put on his contract. And so that's the way he wanted to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things in life that are like unlimited in theory.
Yeah.
But, you know, they try and find a way to get you out of there. Like, I always think about the buffet. Shout out to Houston, a great buffet town.
Yeah.
Go to the buffet. And I know some unscrupulous people, some real dastardly folks that are like, I'm going to get here when they open. I'm going to eat. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to eat. And I'm going to eat till they close. And they're like, nah, you got to get out of here, dog. You can't run us dry.
Yeah.
Like the people, they put up unlimited, but there's always an asterisk here. And it feels like Hertz had that here. Because the man, employee said that they be charging him $10,000 because driving 25,000 miles was unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy argued that the contract said unlimited, so that's what it was. But the employee argued back that the contract didn't prevent them from charging more in that case, which I feel like unlimited means something. Like words mean things.
I think unlimited means unlimited in this case. And did they end up not charging him? In the end, because they shouldn't have.
We'll get there.
Yeah, because they absolutely. So that's point number one. If you're going to give an unlimited mileage, then sorry, you know that it means unlimited. I get the buffets because people are lingering, and you know that's one of those where people take true advantage. Was he taking advantage? And point number two is, how the heck do you put 25,000 miles?
Yeah, see,
in a
that's
month?
Unclear. So, Hertz, the clip, you know, got posted on the internet, and then the clip generated more than 450,000 likes and about 25,000 comments. And so, eventually, Hertz, they acquiesced when it was real bad PR.
Mm-hmm.
They apologized to him. They said that unlimited is indeed unlimited. So, they removed the charge. And so they're discussing it with the franchisee who has it and the worker. So if you so feel like putting 25,000 miles on a Hertz rental car, you know that they're not going to come over the top with it. But it's something to consider is like how or honestly why he drove 25,000 miles in 1 month.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like that seems really tough. Like Figgy's hypothesizing maybe he was trying to do it as a stunt to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so like he... 25,000 miles in a month would be 800 miles a day.
So you're basically driving across the country.
16 hours of driving at 50 miles per hour every day, which I mean, I assume that it'd be a little bit higher than that. But I mean, still, like that's a lot. You're driving as an existence at that point.
Did he live in it for a month?
That's a great question.
You know?
Yeah. Somebody said, was he running drugs from Mexico to Canada? Which we have to ask that question.
Yeah.
We have no insight into that.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like he could have been maybe doing like Uber with it or something. Or maybe he was sharing it with somebody.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, like if they could find that out, I imagine Hertz that would probably violate a policy somewhere.
Yeah, you're the one on the contract.
Right. But it's just more than a road trip.
All things being equal, though, let the man have his unlimited miles.
Yeah,
you got to do it.
See now. What I imagine is going to happen here soon is that Hertz going to change all that.
They're
going to
ruin it for everybody.
That unlimited about to change, right?
Yeah.
Like there's about to be a cap on that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the cap will be. I don't know if it's, what is it, like 1,000 miles, 2,500 miles, because that's about what you got coast to coast on the contiguous United States.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's the way that you go about it. But yeah, that unlimited, I have a strong feeling that goes away.
Definitely has ruined it for everyone.
Definitely ruined it up. But yeah, it's unclear how the worker decided on 10,000. But you know what? When somebody walks in and is like, I drove an ungodly amount of miles, I feel like you just, I don't know, 10,000, man.
Yeah.
It seems like they randomly picked a number. But yeah, the guy isn't on the hook for any of it after coming up with that.
Did you, like you mentioned the buffets, what else is there? Have you ever taken advantage, full advantage? Like the buffet thing, you know, you eat all you want, pig out, especially I've done this in Vegas because they have great buffets. You know, I mean, then you leave, man. It's just, you get miserable after you eat that much. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's the thing about the unlimited is that they're usually anticipating that you're not going to actually be able to, you know, really work them. It's just the idea of being unlimited because, like, hey, man, your stomach can only hold so much. You got to go in with the game plan to get your money's worth off the unlimited buffet. I don't know what other unlimited things that I actually partake in, really. Like, unlimited, well, one of the things, unlimited, like, data on, like, internet and stuff.
I definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah, man. I'm constantly gaming or streaming or what that type of stuff. But man, there's so many things that are technically unlimited that I don't think I could ever get anywhere near really working the system on, like this dude did with 25,000 miles in 1 month on a rental car. So salute to that guy, if for no other reason than just that. But yeah, Cam says on the YouTube he thinks that they were running a mobile business.
Maybe
that's the case.
Maybe.
Yeah, so shout out to that guy. And shout out to Figgy putting together the mixtape for you every weekday, 1:20 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 610, even when he is not here. Somebody said from the 281, College Daddy's Pizza Buffet. Get there at 11 for lunch. Bring your book bag with you. Study, play some arcade games, eat dinner, sneak a few slices in some 10-gallon bags that you, or gallon bags that you brought with you. Put them in your book bag. Oh, you had the plan for real.
It's a system.
You had the man. The person that brings Tupperware to the buffet. I appreciate that you're going to that place. But also, wow, you are a special person.
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely.
And
in
you
the word.
Definitely were taking too much of an advantage. Definitely.
And I'm not going to.
But you got away with it.
You did it.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to the fellas of the drive at East River 9 in Edo. But before we get there, let's draft the weekend. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a football Friday. Coming up here just shortly, we're going to be talking to our fellas of the drive, Clint and Ron, who are out at East River 9 in Edo. And they're going to be broadcasting there all day today. So go out and see the fine fellas out there. Say what's up to them. Get you something to eat. And then enter to win, because they always got some goodies wherever they pop out on a football Friday. But before we get to them, let's draft the weekend. Let's talk about the things that we are interested in this weekend and seeing. And, of course, off the table is the game that we're all interested in, even though it's kind of outside of the sphere of the weekend. Yeah, it's Monday night football. Yeah. Texans, Cowboys. We're definitely going to be interested in that, and we'll talk more about that on Monday when we get there. So that one's off the table. But outside of that, I believe I picked first last time.
Okay, so I get to pick first?
You get first dibs on the weekend, that is.
I'm going to shamelessly pick Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
I don't even feel bad doing it. It's one of those events that more people are going to watch this than anything than any boxing match that's been in a long time.
It's one of the things I love about boxing, though, is that it ends up being a real cultural touchstone.
Big time.
When you get these big time matchups, and even though it is spectacle more than the real competition of it, it still exists in that way. Jake Paul is favored in this Vegas wise when it comes to the line. You're confident that Mike Tyson wins, right?
No,
what you want?
I'm curious. I want to see Mike Tyson channel, you know, 1999 or whatever. But I wouldn't say confident by any stretch. I'm definitely interested. I'm intrigued, man. Like millions of other people.
You going to watch the card, or are you just going to tap in with the
It'll be
event?
On, and if something exciting happens, I'll raise an eyebrow and you know, have another chip or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Fair enough. I'm going to do my best to watch the fight, but we'll see how that goes. That's tonight. With my first pick, I will select a matchup of guys that have or teams rather that have run up against each other quite a bit, and this ends up being yet another another chapter in it. Give me Chiefs Bills. A lot of people descending upon Buffalo for this one. They're not going to have Dalton Kincaid in this. They're seeing if they can get some of their wide receivers back. The Buffalo Bills do. Where, you know, are the Bills able to kind of, with the personnel that they have, take away Travis Kelce from the Chiefs? Like, I think that this this obviously with the big time records represents a good matchup, but I think also on the field they match up really nicely. I want to see if the Kansas City Chiefs can keep getting away with it.
I mean, it's flat out one of the most entertaining games year in, year out that we see.
And there's a history, right? Like there's a narrative string that goes with it as well. So it has all the makings.
You almost had them.
Of one of the games of the year.
I'm
all in on Chiefs Bills.
Huge NFL docket this Sunday. I'm kind of torn here, man. I think I'm still going to go with Tennessee at Georgia. On Saturday night, ABC, huge game, as we were talking about earlier, sort of a staying alive kind of game. I hesitated, but I'm going to stick with Tennessee, Georgia. I love me some Saturday college football.
Yeah, I appreciate you letting me have. picking second today has been fantastic. It really is a great slate of games. I know we were talking to our guy Sean about it. He's probably posted right now on the couch and he won't get up. He won't get up till Sunday or maybe Monday. Right? Yeah. Monday morning is when he will peel himself up off the couch, and rightfully so. A lot of fun games, and I continue the fun games of picking, and I might be letting you get off the hook here with this one, but I think there's enough, I don't want to say animosity, but there's enough of another narrative structure and story with this one. Give me Ravens Steelers. I want to see what the Steelers actually have. That defense is clearly really good, matching up against the Ravens team offensively. That is, they're cooking with grease, man. Like they've thrown the football better than they have at any time in Lamar Jackson's tenure. Plus, hey, you remember that guy Derrick Henry, right? Like all those things make it really difficult. But on the other side, that defense has been woeful. In fact, Zach Orr even has gone as far as kind of lamenting where it's been and trying to get together.
Yeah,
and you really need to get it together on that secondary, because big plays have been something that they allow, and that seems to be the entire identity that the Steelers have come with.
Yeah,
chuck it up their dog with Russell Wilson. So I want to see that.
What a slate, man! What a slate! And I'll go ahead and go with the night game, the nightcap. Bengals at Chargers.
Yeah, I should have known I wasn't going to get all of those.
Yeah, Bengals at Chargers. Joe Burrow is playing his butt off.
Yes.
He is really, really just having an amazing season. Well, amazing run here in the middle part of the season. That's going to be fun to watch with Harbaugh.
He'll have T. Higgins back.
And he's got Higgins back.
Yeah, and Jim Harbaugh, like they've been doing some fun things. Shout out to Jesse Minter, defensive coordinator there, just quietly getting that thing done with the Chargers defense. So yeah, that one should be really fun. I think that you made a good selection there. I'm gonna go here, and I'm not doing a bit. I promise. Give me Rockets Clippers tonight. I will be at that game, so I probably should pick it. NBA Cup game number one.
Mention that earlier. This is the cup.
Yeah, you're gonna get the special court and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be fun to see what, for me, after the last time you played the Clippers all of 2 days ago, Tari Eason and Amen Thompson.
It's a great story.
Went crazy, right? Double doubles for both of them, 18 and 10 for Eason, 18-11 for Amen Thompson. Can they replicate that? And is that defense still going to play in that same harrowing pace and in that same way where they completely stifle a lot of things that the Clippers are doing? Because that's the thing that's been fascinating me with this Rockets team right now. The defense is incredible. Top three, I think, last I checked. Of course, it's early on in the season. That kind of fluctuates a little bit. But definitely a top 10 defense, top five-ish defense. And it feels like, especially with those guys, the Terror Twins, as they're calling them, like it feels like this team absolutely has the capability of being that kind of high-level defense this year, which is super exciting, especially when you look around the West. They're currently in fifth, and another win gives them an even more opportunity to play up there in that spot where you definitely have a playoff spot locked in.
The defense, the rebounding, and then the Terror Twins, absolutely the story. All right, I'm going to go with Texas at Arkansas.
Ah.
Texas at Arkansas. I said it when we were talking college football. Weird things tend to happen in Fayetteville. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but weird things tend to happen in Fayetteville. I think it might be a little more entertaining than some would think.
Yeah, we'll have to talk to our guy Clint about how he's feeling about that one. And so I guess I get final pick here.
Yes, sir.
I did not have a selection ready here. I'm not going
to go with Ohio State and A&M. Got a top 25 basketball game tonight.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes, actually, I am going to go with that one.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to watch it because
it's a 9 o'clock game.
All the screens are going to be taken up. But yeah, that game looks like it's really fun. A couple of and they matched up last year.
Yeah,
Where A&M won that game, so it'll be fun to see.
That was in Columbus. This one's in College Station.
And I'm trying to be better about actually watching college basketball at this point in the season.
Yeah,
we'll see if I can actually get that done.
Yeah, you know, I've been picking my spots with college basketball. I've seen two Kansas games for some unknown reasons, but they've had two good games. And I'm not all plugged in yet. You know, that tends to happen in February and March. But this is one I want to watch. It's going to be a good game too, both ranked, big time sipping game. You know, that late night game is always my sipping game, whether it's college football, college basketball on a Friday night or college football on a Saturday night.
Very good. It looks like we got a nice slate of games all weekend long that should keep us occupied. A real sports lover's delight and another sports lover's delight, especially if you love you some golf, is East River 9 in Edo, where we go now to talk to the fellas, Clint and Ron of The Drive. Fellas, what's it looking like?
Hey, what's good, guys? It is the normal wave out here. You know, it's always a good spot. The weather is beautiful out here, and you got the best view, in my opinion, of the skyline right there on the first tee. And good food, good drinks, and it's going to be a good time out here. Got people a chance to not only win a couple of gift cards, $25 to Academy Sports and Outdoors, but also we got a couple of twosomes that people can win out here. You can come out here, win, and then play around. You and a partner of yours, and also, you know, they turn the lights on, so you can do it even after it goes down dark here. Also, pickleball courts as well. So always a fun time here at East River 9.
Yeah, two free twosomes, baby. Get you around on the house over here with you and a partner if you want to. And if you hadn't played out here, I'm telling you, it's a good time. I hadn't done it this year, but I did last year, and it was it's a hell of a time, especially when them lights go down, come on, and sun goes down, man, and you can get out there. You know, we all like to have a little bit more fun after that sun goes down. It's a little easier to let your hair down.
And, that's right.
That's kind of what goes on. I don't know about y'all. That's what goes on with my crew.
Yeah, man, that's evident that you have a good time, Clint. Speaking of having a good time, like, how are we feeling about this Texas-Arkansas game that's coming up? Like, what's your general feeling on that one?
Shock the world, baby. All shock right. the world. Here's the deal is the parity in college football, it's real. I didn't think that Texas was going to be one of the teams this year that we were going to be talking about. And boy, they're not head over heels better than everybody. You know, them and Georgia, Alabama losing, Saban, you don't know much about. But there's two or three teams that you think, man, this team, they got a real chance to be just the big dog that nobody can compete with, that's more physical, that's more explosive, and yada, yada, yada. All these guys returning. And the reality of it is parity in college football, whether it's transfer portal, NIL, whatever the hell it may be, has hit everybody in the country, which is a beautiful thing. So, back to your question. Texas is not as dominant as I thought they would be. Mm-hmm. Arkansas is significantly better from a overall team and kind of a danger perspective. And so I like the fact that our chances to make this a four-quarter game at the very least.
Yeah, Clint, I kept it simple when we were talking about this. I said, weird things happen in Fayetteville, man.
Come on, man.
I'm serious. On, I've been going there since 1980.
Well, a lot of people, obviously, you know, Lopez, a lot of people don't know the history between Arkansas and Texas and kind of what's the what's at stake here. And then you look at, you know, for whatever reason, it used to be Arkansas-LSU, where LSU could be ranked one or two and Arkansas could go in there and it was going to be a game either way you slice it. Texas seems to be more in line with that for Arkansas right now is – I wouldn't let that top five ranking fool you as it pertains to this being a football game. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, right, Ron.
Hogs are winners.
That's right. That's right, Mama.
Ron, you got one of them games yourself with Kansas facing off against BYU, huh?
Yeah, similar thing with what he was talking about with Texas. BYU, they've kind of been at times like the Chiefs of college football, except they don't have Patrick Mahomes. They've slid their way through some tight ball games and been able to pull them out like that one last week. I mean, obviously the Utah guy, he wanted to get himself fined. That AD, he didn't give a rip. Just said they just got screwed. So they, you know, they had a tight one there, had a couple of other tight ones. So we'll see. They can be had. The Kansas frustration is they have a lot of talent. They just have. I mean, they've lost. They've lost six games this year where they've had the lead in the fourth quarter. So, I mean,
there you go. Down.
Shut up.
Shut up.
I'm talking to you, Lance.
They are going down.
We're primed on a football Friday. Get out to eat them. Go see the fellas.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.